This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So we all know that the Trump administration has sent the military, or has talked about sending the military in some respect. And we don't know the full scope of what it is that they intend to do at the present time. The governor in the state of California has rushed to court saying that the federal government is now turning the military against American citizens. Sending trained war fighters onto the streets is unprecedented and threatens the very core of our democracy. And he said that the deployment is actually stoking the violence. He asked for a TRO. It was rejected by the judge, giving the administration time, and they have a hearing set for Thursday. Here to talk to us about it is Clark Neely, Senior VP for Legal Studies at the Cato Institute. Clark, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
So, Clark, what is the story here? What is the bottom line? We've heard a lot of dialogue out of from inside the Beltway that the federal government can't ever do any of this unless they check with governors. What's the truth here?
No, that's not entirely true. But we do need to start with an important understanding, which is that the Constitution does not authorize any sort of national police force. That is one of the most important differences between a free country and a democracy like ours and authoritarian regimes, which routinely use their military for all manner of law enforcement functions. Our Constitution does not in any way, shape, or form authorize the use of military for any sort of a national law enforcement activity. That's the most important thing to realize. Now, there are certain exceptions for when the military may be called into service for very specific and discrete purposes, like to protect federal property or to protect federal operations. But that is not a law enforcement function. That is a constitutional, very narrow authorization in the Constitution to protect the operation of the federal government. So that's one of the most important things here is, what exactly are these troops being used for? And is it genuinely to protect federal property and certain types of federal operations, potentially including the operations of federal law enforcement like the FBI and ICE, or is the military being used for law enforcement purposes, which would be flatly unconstitutional?
So we really don't know at the present time. We know that they've been called out, and it seems as though there are a lot of folks putting their own personal spin on what actually is going to happen, because in many respects, they have been thus far dispatched to federal property, and they haven't really been out patrolling the streets, the best that I can gather.
That seems to be true, although there is there have been reports, for example, of military helping to establish perimeters while ICE are undertaking what amount to law enforcement operations. I've heard reports that some of the Marines who have been called up are actually transporting federal law enforcement officers to go make arrests and so forth. I think that's a gray area at best, and could be a very slippery slope because, again, you don't ever want federal military troops serving a law enforcement function. That is a one-way ticket and a very short ride to tyranny.
What's interesting to me, though, Clark, is that it seems to me that a lot of these cities, that most of which, if not all, are Democrat-controlled, have really brought this situation upon themselves. Because if you look at 10 U.S. Code 12406, which I think is what you have referred to under the U.S. Code, the exceptions are that, number two, there is a rebellion or danger of or danger of a rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States, or the president is unable with regular forces to execute the laws of the United States. When you have local jurisdictions setting up sanctuary cities, restrictions on local police helping federal authorities and local judges exercise a discretion that is in conflict with federal law, and local prosecutors refusing to cooperate with federal authorities. I mean, I was an elected sheriff in this jurisdiction here for 10 years. When I took the oath, the first words out of my mouth is that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States. I don't get to pick and choose which ones I'm going to support, but it seems as though they believe that they have every right to do so.
Yeah, so I agree with much of what you said, and certainly if there's a situation where there's so much civil unrest in a given location that federal officials are unable to go about their jobs, for example, let's say you can't even have hearings in a federal courthouse anymore because the protests have become so violent and pervasive that people simply cannot access a federal courthouse. No question that the federal government has the power to take measures to ensure that those federal operations can proceed. What I disagree with is there is no obligation whatsoever that any state or local official has to cooperate in the enforcement of federal law. In fact, there's abundant Supreme Court case law that makes clear that the federal government has no power to compel a state or local official to cooperate with or facilitate the enforcement of federal law. That is a federal responsibility, and they certainly don't have any legal authority to impede federal operations, but they don't have to cooperate with them. And so I think, it's important to be very clear and not sort of lump a bunch of different things into the same bucket, but instead to say, okay, look, if this is a bona fide effort to ensure that federal law enforcement officials are able to carry out bona fide federal activities and enforce federal laws, then the president, I think, certainly does have that power. But if it's, for example, saying, hey, these local officials used to help, cooperate, they used to turn over people who are suspected of being in the country illegally, et cetera, and they're not doing that anymore, well, that's a prerogative that they have, and there's no legitimate basis for the federal government to try to force them to participate in or otherwise cooperate with the enforcement of federal law. They simply don't have that legal obligation.
It's interesting, though, that if I have information as a local that I know and that there an individual is violating, let's say, federal narcotics laws, there's Supreme Court decisions that say I'm not obligated as a constitutional officer of this country, of a state, of a locality, to forward that information on, that I can just hold this and keep it to myself?
To my knowledge, that precise case has never been before the Supreme Court, but the principle that underlies that case is absolutely yes. In fact, there was a case where a federal law was passed that purported to force sheriffs and other local officials to help participate in background checks before people would be permitted to be given authority under federal law. Cleared under the NICS system. That case was called Prince. It went to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said absolutely not. Local sheriffs don't have an obligation to help with federal background checks. And I think the same principle applies here, absolutely. If you, as a sheriff, have evidence that somebody has violated a federal law, you have no obligation whatsoever to share that information with anybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, when I took the oath, I took it very seriously, and it seems to me that we should just probably eliminate from the oath, because I'm under no duty to support the laws and Constitution of the United States.
Well, you don't take an oath to enforce federal laws, and in fact, that's not within your jurisdiction as a local sheriff.
So what does the word support mean then? What does it mean to support?
Well, I'd have to see the oath. I've never seen an oath that purports to compel a local official to support the laws of the United States. I don't even know what that would mean. I certainly do understand what it means to support the Constitution of the United States, and that is very much a part of the oath of state and local officials. But I've never seen an oath that requires a local official to support the laws of the federal government. Those laws are the business of the federal government, not a local sheriff.
Yeah. I just bring that up because, I know it may be a silly distinction to be had, but, I remember when President Obama was in office, we actually deported more illegals from my jurisdiction at the time per capita than any other in the country. And I remember all of the activists coming down and kind of getting in my face about it. And I said, look, I took an oath to support the laws and the Constitution of the United States. I mean, if the federal government asks me for assistance, I take that oath seriously. I think I'm obligated to support them. I'm a constitutional officer. I'm a law enforcement officer. I ask for their assistance. And when they ask for mine, I intend to give it to them. And it seems as though this is...
Let me try it this way, if I could. I think there are many situations in which it is highly desirable for local law enforcement to cooperate with the federal government, and I've got no beef with that. Yeah. And immigration might well be one of them. But in another setting that we're all familiar with, civil forfeiture, that's where the government can take your property by simply alleging that it was involved in a crime and has been abused terribly. A number of states have either eliminated or really tightened up their civil forfeiture laws, while federal civil forfeiture laws remain very government-friendly. And if the federal, if the federal law enforcement came into your jurisdiction and said, hey, we need you to help us go around taking people's cars and trucks and phones under the very loose federal civil forfeiture regime, notwithstanding the fact that your state has really tightened it up, I think you get to tell them to go jump in a lake, and you should.
Yeah. No, I get that. But, when we have law enforcement out there, the federal law enforcement that's being attacked, I just find it a little curious and disingenuous that when the chips are down, local government, state government reach out to the federal government for their federal law enforcement officials to come in and help facilitate and beat back the threat that they have on the street. And, when I think about what some of the officials in California are saying today, which is directly opposite of what they said a couple of years ago about, certain things and protecting their local law enforcement officers, they can't square any of this up. I mean, it's kind of silly, right? When I look at 10 U.S. Code 12406, it's funny how everybody goes to violence first. Well, it doesn't require violence. It only requires a danger of a rebellion. And the most liberal interpretation of rebellion is an open resistance against the authority of the government. You know, and I think that's pretty well settled in law as well. It's funny that we have this argument going on. I don't know how many times in history, maybe you know, that the federal authorities have come in. I know during, you know, segregation, they came in. You know, I know that even before that in this country, they came in. And during the Vietnam War, there were federal authorities that stepped in to help local government then.
Well, it's a lot to respond to. So let me say two things very quickly. If, for example, you as a local law enforcement officer saw somebody either attacking or threatening a federal law enforcement officer, you certainly would have an obligation. Well, you wouldn't have an obligation, not a legal obligation, but it would certainly be a valid exercise of the power of your office to arrest that person and make them stop because they are in violation of a state law. You don't have any obligation to enforce any federal law, but you ought to be enforcing your state laws, and I got no beef with that. The other thing I would say, you know, is that what it means to be in sort of resistance to the legitimate power of the government is not really so clear cut. And I can assure you that there are some Democratic politicians, and I would bet, although I don't know for a fact, that, for example, a president, Ocasio-Cortez, would say that anybody who shows up at a political protest armed, even if they have a permit for that weapon, is by definition participating in a violent resistance to the authority of the government. And I don't think we want a world in which a President Ocasio-Cortez gets to call in federal troops to break up a peaceful political protest just because some of the people there happen to be lawfully carrying arms. But I can almost assure you that she would.
Yeah. No, I don't. Look, I don't disagree. I just try to bring these distinctions out because I hear all of these folks talking about all of these issues and trying to make something out of it, I think, bigger than what it actually is. It's just amazing to me that the local authorities are saying that they're overwhelmed. The mayor is saying this is crazy what's going on. We need to stop. And those inside the Beltway are saying there's nothing going on over there. It's no big deal. We saw one day or 2 days of some activities, and it's all seems to be over, and it's kind of spreading across the country. It's beginning to remind me of the Summer of Love, that this will get away from us if we don't get out in front of it real soon.
Yeah, listen, that's fair. I mean, you know, we can't allow protracted civil unrest and violence that local authorities are either unwilling or unable to address. So I don't have any beef with that whatsoever. I will say that it's important to move very carefully here. And just because this is happening in a blue city with a bunch of feckless politicians who don't even seem very committed to solving the problem and are giving the impression they couldn't, even if they tried, we don't want to throw the door all the way open to saying that whenever there's civil unrest, send in the U.S. Marines, nationalize the state National Guard, put the troops on the streets in full combat regalia and put down the protests. I know that feels very satisfying to say that, but as I said before, that is a very short one-way ticket to tyranny. We don't use federal troops for local law enforcement purposes. So it should be the exception rather than the rule.
No, I am complete agreement with you. I know that when I was sheriff, I would prefer that the federal government communicate with me before they come in. And if I needed the assistance and I thought that the problem was bigger than me, I would not be reluctant for any political purposes to accept their ability to help. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road here, is that we're so wrapped up in political considerations and political outfall that we don't see the forest for the trees here. And it seems to me that's what's going on in a lot of these areas. As always, we really appreciate your time. Clark Neely, Senior VP for Legal Studies at the Cato Institute. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Truly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Good to be
with you. Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.